Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our studio. Lalit, you coming from Orville Integro Sustainability Institute, could you present two guests from Queen's University from Canada? Who are they?
Like last year, we have this year also the students and a professor from Queen's University, the School of Planning, and this time they are working on a project on growth management framework for the village settlements within Orville Greenbelt. So we have two of the young bright fellows with us. Those who are representing the student body. So they would like to share their experience and the learning experience, what has been happening on this front.
So my name is Anna, Anna Gelati, and I'm one of the 12 students who are here from Queen's University.
And I'm Philip Rowe. I'm one of the other 12 students from here at Queen's University.
So you're trying to tell me there's 24?
No, there's 12 of us in total.
So the other 12.
Okay. Ah, well.
Welcome. So what challenges you were facing in your task? Because the specific task was given to you, as Lalit said, the development of the green belt.
And before we came to Orville, we did a lot of research back in Canada on international green belts and tried to see what lessons we could learn and kind of get an understanding for Orville and the villages and the relations and kind of how the green belt works and how development in the green belt works. But coming to Orville has been so much better because we're just able to see and understand in like real life what is happening, and we're able to interview with various members and get their perspectives. That was something that was very hard to do with a 10.5 hour time difference.
Your observations?
Mine mirror Anna's, actually. It's really hard to understand a place until you're truly here. And when you're actually talking with people who are really invested in Orville, emotionally, spiritually, and physically being here, it's one thing to hear about it and read about it. It's something else to communicate with these people, especially when there's such challenging issues ahead. And that's partially why we're here, to give a different perspective, one that's outside of Orville for this. However, I do think people in Orville do have a pretty good understanding of what their challenges are as well.
Yeah, but sometimes if you're out of zone a little bit, the problems, I mean, the solutions can be faster detected than somebody who's really involved and, you know, you're trying to process what's going on, how to go forward.
Agreed.
So you had that clear perspective from outside, you were working on other models. So you came to some conclusion?
We did, yes. In the beginning, our scope was very big. And then having done a lot of interviews with a bunch of different stakeholders, we were able to refine our project to what Lalit said. So now we're looking at growth management framework for the settlement villages in Orville's Greenbelt. So we're able to kind of come to a like more refined problem and analyze like three specific project objectives. Whereas before, I think this is what helped us being in Orville. It was very broad, and we didn't get an understanding of how important and how like critical the challenges are that Orville is facing in the Greenbelt.
Lalit, you'd like to add for those who are maybe not familiar with Orville and the issues of a Greenbelt and
yes,
all the encroachment that's coming up, all the outside...
For sure.
Involvements and...
We can take the journey back from almost the beginning of Orville. When the Orville's first master plan was made, even the mother gave the sketch, there was a very clear idea how Orville should be living or creating a living environment in the surrounding region. A city which is dedicated to the cause of human unity, it has a special layer understanding or even a sense of proactive responsibility to find a way to create a new development model for living. All over the world, particularly, let us say, in the Asian and Indian conditions, urbanization has been very rapid and almost at the expense of surrounding rural development. World over, there is a new awakening when people are realizing that the characteristics and property of which comes with the rural development and allied activities, whether agriculture, the food which is required to feed the population, green areas, water and soil conservations are very important to create an ecosystem to support the life.
For sure.
So Orville has been having the understanding of doing something towards this for almost beginning. Like any other subject, Auroville needs to develop its own capacity and put more extra effort to take on these activities in a bit more proactive and a hands-on way. So I feel there has been a bit of a lag and we need to act on it fast now. That is one of the reasons, because we have 6 villages within our green belt and their cumulative population is almost more than 6 times. More than 6 times the present population of Auroville.
Yeah.
They range somewhere between 15,000 to 20,000, the 6 villages.
I thought it's like 35.
No, it is not. It is approximately in that range. The last census, some population would have gone up. So, because of Auroville's development and activities, the quality of life of people in the surrounding region has gone quite up, and it has undergone very, I would say, even positive change. On the other hand, the way development has happened, it has also taken a different route than traditional agriculture-based society. So the development which is happening and which is also now more likely to happen at a rapid pace because of Auroville's special development, tourism activities, some more housing, hotels may come up even in the villages. People have different activities, so their quality of earning and spending is different. So people are having different vehicles, road conditions. So these things are changing very rapidly. And Auroville has not been really much able to, I would say, figure out a substantial roadmap towards it. So this is a very real life challenge. Yes.
So that is the reason you've given them the topic to work on?
Yes. So what has been happening, like previous years, I think what is required for Auroville from planning input perspective, I talked to their professor. I discussed with him whether this is feasible, workable, inspiring enough for them. So when we agree that this topic is fine, I try to do the groundwork here. And then we agree on a topic. So they start with the background research work back in Canada. So they approach the whole topic from a much wider planning perspective. Like Auroville's Green Belt is not the first Green Belt in the world. So in that perspective, even if we do many nice, amazing things here, it is good to have a perspective how green belts have been behaving and transforming over a period of time in different parts of the world. That gives you a different perspective. So they start with all that understanding. So, and they have a distant taste and understanding till they are in Canada. So when they come here beginning of December, that is the period which has come across, they get to see the firsthand ground reality situation. They meet the people, so they come to know the different diverse aspects of life here.
So you would be presenting your work tomorrow?
Yes.
At 4:30 in SIRE conference hall?
Yes.
Correct, yeah. So you came up with really solutions?
We did, yes.
Suggestions for the Auroville?
Yes, we have, well, I guess you should come to our presentation.
Thank you.
Yeah.
In terms of our recommendations, we've kind of broken it down into 4 major sections per se. So we looked at land use regulations and policies, which kind of encompasses a little bit of everything. But then we also went over social and community aspects of development that could be looked at. Some real estate recommendations as well, because despite the aversion to money that is within Auroville, it is a necessary force when dealing with outside forces of Auroville. And then we also have our environmental suggestions as well. And so our suggestions encompass a lot of what we heard from different groups of people here at Auroville. Some people had some very unique suggestions, and some people even filled the gaps that some other people, other interviewees, had themselves. So hopefully this document will be able to try to fill up some of the gaps of the knowledge that's already present at Auroville, because there is already so much. It's a very well-educated and very dedicated group of people. And then with all of this case, we ended up with specific solutions in a form of a checklist, and which will come out in our presentation tomorrow, for each of these. Some of them overlap because that's inevitable, but I do think that it's really interesting that depending on which avenue you want to go at, there's a different way and a different timeline for all of these different strategies.
So one of our main challenges was we had roughly 10 interviews and 2 big, large focus groups, and we heard different ideas and different opinions from different stakeholders. So one of our challenges was to try and meet, I guess, all of the opinions and include everything that we've heard and put them into solutions that are actually feasible, not like dreams that can't really be accomplished or things that are too large. So we've created a timeline. I think it's like 5-year timeline.
Yep.
With like recommendations on when to start each solution.
It sounds really interesting. I hopefully got some practical and feasible solutions. There's another scope that actually it's implied to, that it's the western part of the Greenbelt should be constant development of also housing and other options, if I understood from the invitation.
Well, if you see, all these 6 villages are in the western part of Greenbelt,
yeah.
And the way they are growing, they are almost about to touch each other, some of them. So
sure.
It's a matter of time, they will develop into a built environment, a continuous built environment. They're almost touching now. So in next few years, within next 5 years, I think the situation is likely to be even more different. So we need to take a notice of this and work proactively with the villages, with the planning department and all different outreach activity which Auroville has. Somewhat good news is some people within the previous Lavenir and even now, Christo and team, the village development team, they have been working quite proactively with the villages with some kind of memorandum of understanding. So it's
mm-hmm.
a definitive step. We call it a formal, informal, that does not much matter. There's a definitive conscious step being taken now to engage with the villages, which was perhaps not much there before, or it was in a very different form. So
okay.
It is a topic I think we should not take rest. We should proactively work. Another perspective which I try to engage with this work is, Auroville is, it's an energy field.
Sure.
And the people, those who have come from all over the world, they have come and contributing to create this society and its activity. Similarly, I feel there is a wide young energy, particularly all over the world, which is waiting to plug into Auroville. So that perspective and element of Auroville as a learning society also plays a significant role. It is a model. For me personally, I have, now this is the 4th year, so in a way this model is also tested a bit.
Mm-hmm.
That there are people, those who are waiting to be engaged with Auroville in one form or another. If we in Auroville know how to conduct that, host it, facilitate it, it could be a very win-win situation for all of us. Auroville can get, let us say, some recommendation, some very good work done. In this case, it's an example of field of planning. In another cases, it could be something else.
True.
And the people like these young people, those who come from outside, I'm pretty sure that they get a chance to be exposed to something rather unique in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Auroville as a community, the place.
No, we can ask them.
Yes,
why not?
Yes.
Why not?
What did you learn here? I mean, what did you encounter that not maybe expected or enriching your knowledge?
Well, I think, first of all, Auroville is so unique in just the way it was developed, with the spirituality, the how it kind of views sustainability, and then having villages already in its green belt. That's something that's very unique to Auroville, and having like almost 2 different complete like societies almost.
Lifestyles,
yes, living together is something that is very different. Like it happens all over the world. Like people are learning to live together, but the, I guess, level of education is so different, whereas Auroville has all of these resources and they're doing so much to help the villages. That was something I definitely learned coming here. I was able to see exactly what Auroville is doing to help these villages. So that was very interesting.
And that's inspiring to you.
It was very inspiring, yes.
Nice. And you?
I will say that, and a couple of my colleagues also share this view, that speaking about my discipline of planning, there are some of very difficult challenges here that exist that I haven't really been able to find outside of this area. When considering this, most times market forces dictate a lot of actions, and they do outside of Auroville, however, and Auroville has to deal with this. But Auroville has risen to the occasion and yet still trying to fulfill its social aspects that it requires to be, that require to be filled to help out not only their own people, fulfill their own vision of what needs to be required, but the people outside as well need to then understand, like the villages, that you guys are a part of this, you know, you're part of our Aurovillian experience here. So it's very interesting that there are different constraints and different constraints that deal with how one needs to plan in this area. And it's very unique in that respect, that it's almost like Oroville takes on a more difficult position, but one that keeps you guys pure in that respect, and that you're very, you care about people, that it comes through, you know, where other groups, I think, care more about maybe the bottom line, dollars and cents, or position or power, which don't typically end up being as much of a driving force here in Oroville, which is very refreshing, I will say. And so
we often forget this, how different Oroville is in that aspect, no?
Yeah.
When we are talking and trying to move forward, we always forget that that is a really specific aspect of it and beauty, I think.
I agree. I would agree. It's a very pure. Yeah.
But you find it that as also as a constraint?
I think he means it's a challenge. It's not something that we're used to dealing with. So it was challenging to try and implement policies without there being like a governing body or force to like enforce them. So in Canada, you want to pass something, there's like a level that like governance that you need to do, and then it becomes like a law. Whereas here it's debated and everybody works together, which is very different, but very unique.
That democracy is amazing. And it should be emulated a bit more in more places, but even more so, a lot of the tools that we initially thought about before coming here and really experiencing Oroville, even the little bit that we have seen, tools like something simple as population projections deal with market forces and take that into account, like what kind of employment's in the area, how much land is worth, people coming in, speculation, are all just taken as a given. But when you deal with Oroville, there's more involved. And so in terms of my mind, you know, there were several times that I would throw up my hands being like, I don't understand, and I still don't completely understand, but I understand more now thinking that it's just more complicated, but...
It's complex.
Yes, but it's in a good way, I think. The heart's in the right place, but that's partially what makes planning so interesting. It's something, as our boss over here, per se, said, it's an act of yoga.
I'm not your boss.
All right, our colleague over here then said that it's a...
So this planning actually should be more spiritual planning, right?
Well,
considering the human unity, but still that when you go further in human unity, you will stumble upon the spiritual human being, no?
Yes. Yeah.
I always end up seeing things with multiple threads. That is a part of my training also. So if we bring different pieces of puzzle together, Mother said all the problems of the world will be here. It is an essential ingredient for this experiment. So any problem is welcome because it is aiding, it is supposed to be worked upon.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So problem is not a problem, it is coming as a part of some solution.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We have to figure it out, we have to work on it. Another thing is, I have had opportunity and good luck to work in the field of planning for more than 15 years here, including Oroville's first master plan. What I realized after seeing the whole community process in many aspects, planning is the highest, perhaps highest sensitizing activity. No other activity in our society as well as in the, I think, normal world. If you see, what may be expected from a so-called planning office is perhaps a very interesting combination and proportionate balance aspect of social, economical, infrastructural, decision-making, governance, financial, environmental aspects. So there are so many layers involved in planning which it seems no other activity easily deals with. So it makes it fairly, on one hand, complex, but it needs that level of skill, capacity, and understanding. And I think developing our capacity towards these will help us to take to next stage. And however complex we may find and say these activities are, this is a most natural, next, very clear activity where we need to put our effort on as a community.
Yeah, I agree. I think that even the more complex the problem, the more difficult it is, the more beautiful the solution will be.
And when we're talking about a city of human unity, so all of these threads are easily, these dots are connected.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Mother also talked about villages from surrounding region as Adi Oravillian, like they were the original inhabitant of this land. So how do we extend our understanding, interpretation, and definition of that human unity? What is the humane aspect of planning in that? How do we plan it together? Anything which comes together, it's an act of yoga. These people coming from outside, they are getting in the energy thread of Oroville's planning activity and learning. So via these activities, Auroville's energy is also radiating, I feel, very strongly throughout the world. I imagine and envision a situation like Auroville is like an open university in that sense. It's an open learning society. So I envision that down the line we'll have lots and lots of people, especially young ones, professors with bright mind, those who have many ideas, and Auroville is offering them a possibility, come and work and contribute and learn from here. So to be in that stage would be wonderful.
But we're headed there, no? Especially on the scope of work you are on.
I mean, I like to do because it is also my like personal liking. I see things that way. That is my perspective. But I'm sure the amount and range and depth of work Auroville does, that can be further enhanced. Its beauty, functioning, the depth of that can be further enhanced if we develop, I would not say institutional, but a community level capacity further. And we enable a bit more of learning society behavior.
But I think we are going somewhere, because also the university in the National Zone is coming up, which is going to be platform of one of the educational centers the mother was talking about, and on a higher level than just do the afforestation, no?
Sure.
And also the door for our children to learn a little bit more.
Naturally.
And the bioregion, because the villages also do have an option, a chance for children to send to our schools.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, they do. Yeah.
Have you talked to them?
The villagers?
Yes.
Yes, we had two focus groups with villagers from all different villages.
Rapetai, Alankupa, and Sanjeevi Nagar, Kottakarai.
Yeah.
Focus was more on Alankupam. Uh-huh. Also because of the reason, because Alankupam comes under the Pondicherry territory. So that adds one more layer of complexity to deal with, which Auroville has to. So in a way, it is a maybe interesting early start. Their work, their input provides a seed for further taking up of activities and actions for Auroville.
In addition to this, I think that when dealing with the villagers, the villagers themselves, it's to do it properly and to get a very comprehensive picture would require a lot more time than sadly we have here now. So as mentioned, hopefully this will be a beginning that will be taken on further on, maybe by Auroville itself, or maybe even future School of Urban and Regional Planning students from Queens. So we hope that happens. It's just we have a good understanding. We don't have the whole picture yet. And to make complete recommendations that this will solve everything without doing that would be a little extreme. So we have recommendations, but further work needs to be done as well.
Sure.
It's also would be required to leave, I think, much more time in either in rural settlements or in the village settlement, because the lifestyles are really too different things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's merging, especially it's merging with our children, because our children, most of them, they do speak Tamil, which is the base, yeah? And they do go into the villages to small shops, so, you know, they do interact. And some of the children do come to our schools. And if you look even in town hall, the workers are from there, right? Mm-hmm. So we work together on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Only at night, Lalit goes to his home, I go to my home. And these people go to the village, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There is an exchange.
Yeah, but it's an active exchange on daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
So like on that basis, I feel the work which these people do or they have done, it's an offering to Auroville.
Mm-hmm.
So it is up to Auroville now to pick up the work from here and make something out of it, to take it up further.
So what is your experience in the previous years? Those recommendations that were so gracefully done by the groups of students from that particular university are being considered or not?
My take or understanding of that is Auroville as an organization has, or it goes through its own evolutionary crisis and capacity building. So for many of the areas, the way many previous planning groups have worked, even I worked, it is quite challenging to be able to take up large development in a very sustained follow-up manner. This is a part of life here.
Mm.
I sense now, particularly with this project, and seeing what Kisto and team has also been doing, I think this work, particularly this work offering, is coming at a very right and appropriate time.
I think so too, because it's just like, you know, it's bubbling, it's really bubbling, especially in Greenbelt, so, and it has, something has to be done.
Yes,
you know?
So this is an offering. Let us say they are sharing a perspective, they are opening some door, they are putting some questions which we have to deal, and they also explain the quantum and nature of work ahead. Mm-hmm. Now, it is not an oversimplified version as if you do only two things and something nice will happen. No. It's a very systematic way to develop and comprehend a much complex phenomenon. And how do we approach? It's essentially developing capacity. And I think developing capacity is equally a work of yoga.
Yes.
As a society, if we don't develop our capacities, there is no possibility of living together properly. We are not able to develop that framework. No, it will be a very odd situation here. So it's a refinement of that capacity rather. So I think we are inching towards it. Some people have already actually asked and inquired about the previous work done by the previous group. I believe one of them is very, very pertinent, particularly the social landscape guideline on the crown.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
I think I have a feeling it's a matter of time, and this is what I have learned in Oroville.
Some of them is implemented already, no?
Some of them are coming. In a way, the neem tree which has come,
yeah.
Neem tree is an extension of the similar thought.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very participatory life, but we end up meeting quite a lot in a very meeting, agenda-oriented settings, so which are generally a bit heavy and very focused and differently. But if we create some opportunity where people could have a bit lighter possibility of interaction, any place that allows that, I think it will have a great impact. And that was the purpose of those guidelines. It's a matter of time. I'm sure it will be picked up. Some things are happening and...
Yeah.
As we go ahead.
And something has to be done for sure. That's
so one way of taking is these students have been able to contribute reasonably nice work in an advanced manner. It is up to us to pick it up and follow it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
But it's true, we all know it, that something has to be done. And I'm looking forward to for the presentation tomorrow.
Yes.
Fantastic.
4:30 SIRE conference.
Yes.
That is correct. Come join us.
Please join. Yeah.
And if you're interested in knowing more about our time in Oroville, we have a blog that you can follow and read about what we've learned and all of our experiences here as well.
Where we can find this blog?
It's just www.oroville2017.worldpress.com.
That's it?
Yep.
Okay, that's easy, no?
Very easy. Yeah.
I mean, maybe you can give that email to them, yes. And you can put in the radio.
I'll put the link on the
link. Just put the link there. Thank you very much for having us here.
Philippa and Lalit, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you so much.